You're listening to Flight Test Podcast, Episode 6. Hi, and welcome to the Flight Test Podcast. If you're into scratch building, FPV flying, radio control planes, helis, multi-rotors, this podcast is for you.
Welcome, everyone, to the episode 6 of the Flight Test Podcast. Today, we have a few, well, one
it's crowded
extra
in
person.
Here.
Yeah, it's kind of crowded.
But it's a good crowd.
I would really say cozy.
Crowded. It's cozy in the podcast fort.
Yeah.
I'm going to introduce myself. Let's go around the table. I'm Austin Fury.
I'm David Vindestal.
My name is Alex Zavada.
And I am Chad Capper.
And I'm Josh Bixler.
It sounded so final when Chad said it.
I actually thought Josh went first. I wasn't paying attention, so I thought it was last.
That's okay. I was just going to stay silent because it felt like a good ending point, but no.
Well, I was focusing on trying to get a picture because
we need a picture.
It really is like a fort.
And Josh is just listening today. That's why it was so final.
Hey, can we put the attention on the extra person here? Because I just love him dearly.
Yeah, well, I figured we would take a minute just to hear a little bit from Alex because everybody else has done that in previous podcasts, taking a second to talk about themselves, what they do. Actually, we've talked about what we do here and what a typical day is like. And one more thing, I forget what the other thing was.
I don't know, but Alex is going to – we're introducing him like he's new, but he's been here for a while. He's been behind the scenes helping out in a lot of ways.
I love this guy more and more every week. He's like the crescent wrench of flight tests. He can do anything. And honestly, it's like, Alex, we need
Stop
this
it,
done.
Guys.
I'd say the liars. The crescent wrench is a little limited.
Oh, really? Like, you can use a crescent wrench as a hammer.
Well, you can, but you can use pliers as a hammer, too.
Okay, wait. 1 minute into the podcast, and we already derailed. Hey, Alex.
All right, guys. All right, Alex, you're up.
My name is Alex. I'm a product specialist here at Flight Test, and it's hard to put that into a single sentence description.
We still don't know his description, by the way.
Because you run camera, too.
I do a lot of different things. I started out doing a lot of the manufacturing, running the laser, back when we only had one laser, and we were in the basement of Stone Cab.
It was a garage.
Yeah, I run the laser. Did that for a while. Lately, I've been on the computer a lot more, dealing with stuff like the newsletter, and then obviously the store, adding new products, creating marketing material for the websites and the store and stuff like that. And what else do I do? Yesterday, I started answering the phone because Josh's phone conversations tend to go on all day when he has
a bunch of...
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
He is a nice guy to talk to, and it can get a little bit lengthy.
You have 15 minutes per phone call eats up the day pretty quickly.
Alex, you're equally
15
as nice.
15 minutes is short. That's a good one.
I have to say that, Alex, I've noticed that you're much more concise on the phone. I mean, not in a bad way, just like here's your problem, here's how you fix it, and Josh has like met all of
I want to know about
the
family.
What's your other dog's name?
So you got any special tricks?
You're not going to change me, so just embrace it, right?
So what do you fly, Alex?
Lately it's been a lot of multi-rotor stuff, but I like to fly anything and everything.
A true H-quad?
A true H-quad, yeah. Somebody on Facebook said they love me and they're going to make a proper H-quad, so thanks. I have a fan.
Well, explain what a true H-quad is.
It flies like a flies through the air like an H and not an I, so like the front.
And that flight test has been wrong in the way we've been labeling.
Everybody's been wrong.
That's a pretty strong opinion. A little divisive. I just said that what a nice guy is. He's telling them everybody is wrong right now.
Except for you right now.
So the front of the H and the back of the H are open as opposed to closed.
Yeah, so when you stand it up.
Well,
when you fly forward, it looks like an H. How hard can it be?
I think it.
You know what? And David has been taking Alex under his wing and teaching him crazy skills with following airplanes. The guy's amazing. He has sucked up David's knowledge like a sponge, and you're doing a good job, David.
Yeah, because I'm leaving flight test at the end of April, so I need someone to continue getting the aerial shots.
Yeah. Couldn't have picked a better person.
Yeah, he's doing really good.
Yeah. Oh, Alex, tell him how we met.
Oh, me and you?
Yeah.
It was about this time last year at the, it used to be called the JR. indoor event. Now it's the Horizon, but Josh was flying an unnecessarily big nutball through the air. And I was flying a UMX Beast.
Which is much, much, much smaller and lighter.
And lighter, yeah. And he just chopped it into a million pieces. And that's how we met.
Yeah, I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like, oh, that's cool, man. That's cool. And that's pretty much Alex. Was, oh, that's cool. So, yeah, the guy is crazy talented, and he's doing a lot of camera work now. And, yeah, we can put him any place in this company, and he excels and does a great job. And he's just a pleasure to work with.
Thank you.
How You're did welcome. You get into the hobby? That's usually what we ask, right?
Sure. That sounds good.
I got into the hobby. Well, I was into cars when I was younger. I had a Tamiya Frog, which is a really old race car. It's about as old as I am. And then my dad was into nitro and gas and stuff before he had kids, so those were laying around. He had a couple gentle ladies. And probably when I was in grade school, me and my buddy took out a gentle lady and were just trying to fly it just by hand launching it.
That went well.
It went well for a while, and then we crashed into a backhoe. And so if you're listening, Dad, sorry. He already knows. But
he thought it was the other
just
guy
bringing up bad memories.
So yeah, that was like kind of my first experience. And then later on, probably 3 or 4 years back, I got one of those Ultramicro P-51s from, I think it's Park Zone. Mm-hmm. And that was my first plane. I remember I got that. My buddy got a Champ. And we both took them off at the same time. And it was way too windy. And they just blew away. And we eventually found them. But it took a good long while. From then, I think I got the Beast after that. And then I moved up in size to a Park Zone Stinson. Which it was a really cool plane. But it wasn't that great of an experience to kind of get into a little bit bigger planes. Actually, I let my dad fly it first. Well, I flew it first, but then when I first let my dad fly it, he was flying it around in a pattern. We were at a soccer field, which has some houses right next to it. And my dad flies full-scale planes for a living.
He does
not fly RC planes for a living, and I thought it would cross. You would think it would cross over, but it definitely does not. And he was flying around this soccer field and kind of went over kind of towards the houses, and he dipped down. There was this guy with a fenced-in backyard, and he kind of dipped down below the fence for just a second and just disappeared, and then all of a sudden we just heard this. And he actually stuck the nose of the Stinson through the fence. It broke a fence post out, and it stuck in the fence like a dart. And the wing fell off, and then there was a dog in the backyard, so we couldn't get it, and it was just really awkward. Completely broke the fence.
You know what's funny is you said he's a commercial pilot, but you didn't say what he flew.
He's flown a lot of different things over the years. Currently, he flies he's been a commercial pilot for private companies his whole career, so it's not airlines, but he flies right now they have a Gulfstream G550 and a Bombardier Challenger. I think it's a CL600. He's been flying those for quite a few years now.
So it's quite impressive.
Yeah.
Well, and also he has a commercial and something else recently too.
Oh, yeah. He just recently got his commercial hot air balloon pilot's license. If you watched the hot air balloon episode, you probably saw him crewing for my brother in the yellow balloon.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, you didn't make that connection. Yeah, that was Alex's brother in the balloon episode.
Balloon pong.
Also, something else to continue rounding out who Alex is, the graphic design for the cards that we send out, the banners on the site, the store.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really say that. That's what I went to school for. yeah, I do a lot of the graphics and stuff. Anytime there's something that isn't video related but graphically related, I normally take care of it for whoever needs it. So I have a lot of – I take orders from a lot of different people.
There's a whiteboard above his desk, and it is packed. I mean, it's more, I think, writing than anything else. It's
lately, I've been taking a lot of orders from the Furies. both Austin and his wife Anna, because I help Anna out with manufacturing and shipping or whatever she needs me to do. And then Austin, I help out a lot with graphics stuff.
Someday we'll have to get Anna and Jen on the podcast, but I'm kind of scared about that too.
Yeah.
Because they keep things truth real and truthful.
I think it's a good idea. I don't have any problem with it.
All right. Put it up for a vote.
Yeah. I think that Alex's board is more of like a wish list than a to-do list, but
he does
it's
good.
Okay. It goes in order of importance. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the best.
As I said before, I think in the previous podcast, we are blessed with amazing people, and it just seems in the right timing that they come through the doors. And Alex is definitely one of them. Austin is one of them. Anna, my bride. Not Anna, my bride.
I was going to say
Anna, my wife, Jennifer.
Say, huh, that's new.
I gotta play. There was a comma in between there. But Anna and my bride do a wonderful job. It's just really, really cool atmosphere here.
It definitely is.
Yeah. So first segment.
We're going to be talking about Horizon Indoor Electric Festival. First, I just wanted to mention Alex actually has his own plane design, which is pretty cool.
It is wicked.
It's not really a plane yet. It doesn't fly.
It sort of flies.
I thought it was great.
It's a pretty cool design, and it it goes along with Alex's musical abilities. So I'll link a picture to that in the show notes so you guys can check it out.
I can't take full credit for it. Actually, Dan Greathouse from Laser Toys originally gave me the idea. But
it's pretty cool. So we're not going to say what it is, but we'll post a picture of it. You guys can comment on it in the show notes. To access the show notes, just go to flighttest.com, upper right hand corner, click the podcast icon.
Very cool.
Horizon Indoor Electric Festival. How was that, guys?
It was great.
Awesome. The people were amazing. And you know what, Alex? You were there, Chad was there, and I was there. David, sadly, you fell ill.
Yeah, I did. I was dying at home.
Yes, and we left him there. So we're like, okay, yeah, feel better. We're off to fly foam airplanes in the big dome. Horizon is a inflatable indoor driving range.
Mm-hmm. And Four Seasons Golf Dome is what it's called.
Yes, and it's huge.
It's in Columbus. Columbus, Ohio.
Huge!
Thank you, David. it's awesome, but the people there and the atmosphere is just so friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where obviously you and I met, but I've been going there, I think it's 5 years now. And Chad, you've been there 3 years now, maybe?
Three or four?
When the show first started. Mm-hmm. And it's just... I can't emphasize, it's not the most beautiful place to fly in, truthfully.
It's kind of dark and dreary.
Dark and dreary, but...
smells weird.
There's so much... I was going to leave the smell out of it.
Now it's personal.
Yeah, they have a water runway in the middle, which is pretty fun. A lot of people are running like crazy to get their planes out of the
When you say a water runway, it's a little bath.
It's actually a frame of 2x4s that they set on the ground, and then they just put a sheet of plastic
and fill
over
up the water.
The water's
like 2 inches.
Yeah. I'm envisioning
it
works really well, though.
Yeah. my favorite was one year when one guy crashed his helicopter into it and busted the lower liner of it, and so you had the water just trickling slowly throughout the whole weekend, you know, in this little trough. But
that's funny.
It is cool. Oh my gosh! Anywhere from beautiful scale build-up planes to simple fun foamies, it's all there, and it's very accessible. A lot of kids, and truthfully, I hope that there's more kids next year.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one thing I think was a little bit of a deficit for what it could have, because there's no wind, there's no weather.
It is a good atmosphere to learn.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a lot of fun playing past the transmitter, huh? And Alex built this awesome – we're coming out with a new plane called the Old Speedster. It's going to couple with the FT Old Fogey.
Yeah, it's out today, actually.
Yeah. If you're listening today, the very first day the podcast comes, it's just as getting released today. We're actually recording this early.
Yep.
But we were able to look ahead in the calendar and see forward in time and stuff. But Alex built an awesome silver one, and you burned battery after battery.
Yep, it flew pretty good.
It was fun.
It was dialed in.
Until it landed in the water.
Yeah, I was trying to do some touch and goes on the skim the water a little bit and got a little too close.
Yeah.
But it was fine. Luckily, I min-waxed it, so.
You know what? The people were the coolest part, though. Yes. Joe Vermillion was there. If anyone doesn't remember Joe Vermillion, he is the gentleman that we got to hang out with a lot at Jonal. And just awesome guys from Precision Aerobatics. I believe he also has ties with Fly RC, maybe? Or one of the magazines?
Yeah, one of the magazines.
Boy, I hope I didn't get that wrong. Sorry, Joe, if I did. And Tristan, and I had to write down his name because it's a very hard name to pronounce.
Labazoo.
Tristan, if I got your name wrong once again, I'm sorry. This gentleman is amazing as a pilot.
Yeah, he was really – he was on the ball.
We did a glider tow And
tell me about this glider toe. You I just saw heard the video. No, I saw the video.
Well, it wasn't supposed to start out as a glider toe. I just wanted to chuck the glider, the FT Simple Soar, in the dome and see, you know, how much glide time we can get, because the Simple Soar is not really made to fly in windy weather, and it's dead calm in there. So I was like, I want to see how well this does, and it was doing really good. Well, Joe Vermillion came over. He's like, we got to do a toe. And one guy came up and he was so kind. He's like, let's do a tow with this. And it was a flat out foamy that's made out of like 3 mil Depron. I was like, feel the weight of this glider. It's heavy, you know? So he's like, no. Well, Tristan comes out of the blue. He's like, yeah, I'll do it. And he had this really cool 3D high wing called a Highlander. And we're like, well, okay.
West Michigan Park Flyers is the name of the manufacturer.
West Michigan Park Flyers Highlander.
Yeah.
Thank you. And boy, does that thing perform.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It was amazing. And I see more and more high-wing 3D planes now coming out. It's amazing.
There was the Twisted Hobbies has one called the – I think it's just a beaver, but okay. It's 3D. They were doing the crazy maneuvers with the flaps and stuff. I think that's what Joe Smith was flying.
I really like the Twisted Hobbies planes.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Did you see the beaver?
Yeah. Yeah. I know really E-Flight cool. last year, I think, didn't they have a Citabria, 3D Citabria?
I don't know if it was E-Flight, but yeah, the red one.
Great planes maybe. Yeah.
Okay, towing?
Yeah. Okay, back to
the tow story.
We did the irresponsible thing and just towed it or tied the rope to his tail. You know, you're supposed to, when you tow, you're supposed to tie it to the top CG.
Top CG, yeah.
And, boy, that really freaked out a lot of old-timers that knew what they were talking about. Like, don't worry, we really can't do that because of the way we have to do it here. But God bless him. We ran around, found some string, tied it on, and I was like, have you ever towed before? Nope. And I was like, well, just keep it kind of flat and everything. This guy was on the ball. Because a glider jumped in the air. We waited about a half circle around the first time and got a little weird, so I unhitched and we both flew back. And he doesn't just fly back and land. He pops it inverted and then pops it up in a 3D attitude, just hovers it right in front of his face. And just it plants it. It looks like it's a still picture. And we did it again. The second time was pretty funny because he pulled up a little bit too quick and that kind of stalled and the rope came around the wing and just totally just – it looked like someone just took the glider and smacked it in midair. Well, that ended up with a glider that was dangling like the fish at the end of the rod, about maybe a foot and a half above the ground.
And he's hovering the plane.
Like I said, he was on the ball.
Man. Yeah.
It was a 3D glider toe.
Yeah, he was literally – he was at the very top of the dome. Hovering, and I was at the very bottom of the dome, just inches above the ground, it felt like. And he had such a presence of mind.
He didn't quit flying. He kept flying and slowly worked his way out of the hover and got the glider to gain momentum. And then eventually they kind of both dove out of it at the same time and they flew back in formation almost.
Yeah.
And then last minute he flipped it over almost kind of like Top Gun style.
Yeah.
Except he was underneath him and they flew in formation while he was inverted all the way back.
The guy is an amazing pilot and such a kind guy. We got to talk afterwards and he's so humble. I mean, his skills are just insanely good and such a humble, kind fella. And I got to meet his mom. They stayed late just to do this. They were supposed to leave like an hour earlier. But it's like, oh, we'll make it happen. So they had a 7-hour drive, and she stayed late. And, yeah, just great people.
And very that cool. video is available on our
Gremlin
channel. So check that out. We'll have that
channel.
In. Yeah. It's a very, very secret channel, man.
It used to be a secret channel. Don't tell anybody. And another video that is available on the Gremlin channel is the it was the Collective Pitch 3D plane.
Oh, that was so freaky to watch.
It's like it's hovering crazy, upside down.
So thrust vectoring Collective Pitch 3D profile.
It was insane. It just moved in ways that no aircraft ever should.
It just looked like a puppet that was on strings, and it was just turning any which way. Like anything was possible with it. It was very
bizarre. Actually, the pilot was Futaba team pilot. I think his name was RJ Gritter.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
Well, hey,
he's
RJ.
Awesome pilot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good guy, awesome pilot. And we got to play with a lot of other airplanes, too. Horizon sent us down with an arsenal of planes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
The Icon.
Yep.
Which is really cool. By the way, if you get the Icon, fly it with rudder. It's not a bank and yank little guy. It needs to be flown with rudder. But a testimony to AS3X, second circle around, I met up with another amphibian, and it took a huge chunk out of the wing.
So it was the first flight?
The first flight. I think second lap around, something like that. And it wasn't just like a nibble. It took all the way back to the little carbon fiber spar thingy, and it hit the ground along with the other guy. And the other guy was probably 2-3 times bigger than this little thing. And I just firewalled it, and it took back off. And I didn't realize it because I was flying it back to me. There's a huge chunk out of the wing, and the thing's flying like – it's fine. So
he was missing the whole leading edge of his wing on the one side, but it still flew.
Yeah, we grabbed a piece of sticky back like label paper, and we folded it, and you couldn't tell afterwards. But
nice. Well, you could kind of tell.
It was a big fix. Yeah, we flew that around. That was a fun thing, and my kids would not leave the Duet alone. There's a new little trainer.
Yeah, talk about that.
Oh, my goodness. Guys, I can't vouch for this enough. What an exceptional product. It's designed by Kike Samanzini. Did I say that right, Kike?
I think Samanzini. So. I don't know.
And,
I'm Swedish.
It has no ailerons, no rudder, but it's a little tiny twin engine, and it uses thrust vectoring.
Differential thrust.
Differential thrust.
It only has an elevator and two motors. That's it.
Yeah. But you can taxi it. The thing is amazing because at any altitude, you always have nice rudder control. And this thing was, like I said, my kids went battery after battery after battery. And they never touched it before, and they were flying it nonstop. So if you guys have a kid, or even if you just want an easy flying plane, it's incredibly maneuverable. And it just flew so nice. Stall recovery was nice. You couldn't damage it. If you hit the nose and the wing.
It doesn't weigh anything. So
yeah.
It's probably not too good outside. We didn't try it in any
wind. No, it says not to fly at above 5 mile an hour wind. So yeah. It's I'd say it's one step up. It's almost like it'd be a good replacement for like an Ember. You remember how fragile the Embers were?
Mm-hmm.
It has the authority and the feel of an Ember, but real light wing loading, like Alex said. And the neat thing is if you hit the ground, the leading edge and the nose hit, but the prop doesn't.
Yeah.
So I thought that was
and
really
and the props
cool.
are super small and kind of flexy,
mm-hmm.
so I noticed. So they seem pretty durable. Yeah.
What's it called again?
It's called the Duet.
And what else did you guys fly? What did you bring? Was there any more Horizon planes you brought?
No, there's Hobbyco. Though.
Yeah, we brought down the Hobbyco P-38.
Oh, right.
We were flying formation with another gentleman that had it, and that plane is amazing, too. You have rudder for the nose gear, but you don't have it for the rudder.
Oh, really?
It's really cool, but super easy to fly. And when it comes to land, you just pull back the throttle, and it just plants on the main.
That was a sweet flying plane.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that gentleman flying with the ready-to-fly transmitter, too?
Yeah. It was very good control.
Yeah, it was pretty good transmitter for the ready-to-fly.
I got really monstrous hands, and I don't like little transmitters, but it feels natural. He let me fly it, and it felt really good. Like you said, really good proportional control. And a lot of power for a little battery and decent flight times. Mm-hmm. I think he cruised around for about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
So we were flying formation.
Cool. Pretty did cool. you guys do anything else there? Chad, what did you do?
He flew combat.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that one was...
He flew Versa.
I didn't do so well, though, because they cut the field in half. Like, they made everybody go from the normal flight line to halfway in.
I heard you flew over the people a lot.
He almost
flew into the...
He almost killed the people.
I almost killed, like, me and people just, behind me. And yeah, I'm not that good of a pilot.
You just wanted to go right to the source. You figure if you take out the flyer, the plane's going to go down too. So,
exactly.
Yeah,
it's a bigger target too.
Well, yeah, they're not moving around.
No, so it was not. I'd rather not talk about it. There was nothing special about it.
I actually went down before you, though. I was flying a Speedster, which wasn't a good choice.
Yeah, but that was at least fun to watch. Mine was just trying to fly it within this tiny little circle.
We actually owe some people some apologies too with the Speedsters. Anytime we put the thing up in the air, it ate something.
Yeah, I mean, I flew that thing probably, well, four separate times, and each time I hit someone.
Yeah,
they were one of the biggest planes in the pattern,
but not the fastest.
I should take that back. Yeah. Twice I was hit. So it was twice I hit someone and twice I was
I think the
was
other
hit.
Guy has that yeah. different story.
the best thing was when they were flying like formation with like a P-51 Mustang, you know, and the P-51 Mustang's like the size of the tail of it.
Yeah,
it was pretty funny. But yeah, my poor kids, every time they put up in the air, it'd be like, and it was gone. And they were just eating planes left and right to the point where we'd put the Speedsters up, people would land. Like, okay, we're going to set it down. And guys, if we ate any of your airplanes, please know we weren't trying to do it intentionally. It wasn't even a happy accident. It was a very unhappy accident. So thank you for your grace on that.
Nice. Okay, so should we move on to the next segment?
I don't want to leave on a negative note. The best part of the show for me was meeting all the people. I loved standing at the Laser Toys booth and getting to meet people when they came up and answer any questions. And it was fun. I actually really enjoyed working with Dan.
We hung out with Laser Toys all weekend.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah, Dan's awesome for opening.
We brought down like almost over 100 swappables for them to sell.
Yeah.
I think they did really well.
Yeah, yeah, and we also brought down some ultra-rotors and stuff too. But, Deanna has just been wonderful about opening his doors and letting us tag along and getting us table space and also a place where we can greet people. So, yeah, thank you, Dan.
Do we want to talk about multi-rotor flying at all, or is that
at the event?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do want to say Adam, right?
RC Logger?
No. Adam.
Tricopter?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He brought his tricopter.
Think of his last name.
I didn't write down his last name.
Oh, my gosh. Adam, I'm so sorry.
Actually, my kids loved him.
But that was the highlight of my trip was I got to work with him to finish setting up his tricopter.
Oh, cool.
Because he had it to a certain point, and he kind of got stuck on the rudder was reversed. And I was able to help him set that up.
Nice.
And he flew it the rest of the time like crazy.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was a great pilot. And it was just – that was the highlight of my trip was to be able to meet him and help him work on his tricopter and then watch him fly it the rest of the time.
Yeah.
And he drove with his mom. He's what, a senior in high school?
I think so, yeah.
And his mom and he came from Philadelphia.
Oh,
it's like an 8-hour drive.
Yeah.
That's a hike.
And he's like, I came just to see you guys. It was like, oh, wow. Then the pressure was on.
Yeah, pressure.
Wow. It was cool, though. We hung out with them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's also a gentleman named Todd there that was just so kind. Him and his daughter fly together.
Oh,
and
nice.
Super, super kind guy. We sent him home with a T-shirt, as a matter of fact, because his daughter had some other activities she couldn't make it. But it was so neat to see because they were texting back and forth.
Mm.
And it's so awesome when you see a father sharing a memory with a daughter, which is normally a son. But the warm conversation they're having back and forth, the excitement they shared, the passion they shared. So, guys, whether it's a son or daughter, get in the hobby with them. It doesn't have to just pertain to boys.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed the show. It wouldn't be nice to be there.
Yeah, the events, like Alex said, the events kind of – it's dark. It's kind of dreary looking. And yeah, there are some smells once in a while.
It doesn't smell. It's not that bad.
Center of the vendor's row line every year smelled like a little bit of urine.
Wow. I wasn't going to go that strong.
I don't know.
It was the onions. I was really, they had these awesome gyros and stuff.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good smells, though.
Yeah, that was good smells.
Gyros is in food, right?
Yeah.
Well, they had the other gyros, too.
tasty gyros.
The people, they made it amazing. We'll go there every year, honestly.
Yeah, awesome. It's a good time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, next segment we're going to talk a little bit about. We did this segment for the first time in Podcast 5. We're going to try it again because it went pretty well. What's new in RC Tech? What's some new things you guys have been using or flying or whatever?
I would say gimbals, yes. Brushless gimbals.
Yeah, definitely. They're coming on strong.
Yeah.
3D printed ones and ready to go ones, and they're coming down in price really fast.
Under $200.
Yeah. You can get a good one that actually works, and you don't have to trim it that much.
Mm-hmm. Which, under $200, that was unheard of.
Oh, yeah, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one that came out was $700,
mm-hmm.
and that was considered cheap.
Well, DJI is still selling.
It's a high quality gimbal.
Well, yeah, I'm not
stuff,
saying it's not, but I'm saying they're still selling a common GoPro one for what, $600 or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, $600 or $700 still.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty nice. I still want one, but
I gotta say that the ones we have the one from RC Manchild.
Yeah, it's
I don't know what his price is on that. He sent it to us.
Yeah, I can't remember the price.
Oh, I got an iPad here. Why don't I look it up?
Check that. I think it's $320.
And you used the RC timer before that, right?
Yeah, the RC timer worked great,
you crashed.
Yeah, we crashed it, and it's got to be the controller because I swapped out the motors and everything, and it still gives me a vibration on the tilt.
Yeah, motor. We need to update the firmware and stuff on it. The cheaper you go, the more setup you have to do and the more research you have to do, usually.
Right.
But it's worth it.
The RC Manchild one.
Depends on what you want to do.
Yeah.
Was plug and play, wasn't it?
You just plugged it in. Yeah. It was already set up for a GoPro and everything. It was nice.
And it's cool because it's 3D printed, too. And we've crashed it a couple times. And David what did you use, CA?
Yeah, CA the first time, hot glue the second time.
Oh, and it's built to order, $420.
Oh, okay.
So it is a little more expensive, but I've been extremely happy with it. And it's made for the GoPro 3.
It's using the better controller board instead of – it's using the Alex Moss, right?
I think so.
Instead of Martinez.
Yeah, you helped me set it when we changed the settings. What was it? Remember, it was the second one.
Yeah, it's the other one. Yeah, it's a little more expensive, but the setup software is so much nicer.
So, Alex, what were you saying?
I forget.
Long time ago.
Josh, you been using anything new, interesting?
No, I've been crashing planes more than anything recently. I do I'm really looking forward to trying out some new APM technology from 3D Robotics.
Oh, we should be getting those today.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, nice. They're sending down. We're going to have some fun projects with those, and I'm really – I don't know if anyone knows. I'm frugal, as Chad likes to say, but frankly, it's cheap. I love cheap things. I don't mind working a little harder. And
just give him some Mountain Dew and he did. No.
Don't tell him my secret love. But no, I don't mind. And what Dave says is absolutely true. The cheaper you go, the more work it takes to get the results you want.
Yep.
And it all depends on your standards. If your standards are low, it doesn't take as much work to get to that. But if you want excellent.
That's the key to having fun in this hobby. Lower your standards.
Exactly. Set the bar nice and low so you can get over it and then move it up from there. I've been really pleased with 3D Robotics APM 2.5, and they're sending us the newest technology to try out. And something about the technology fascinates me. And I'll say Dave and Chad love DJI NASA.
Yeah.
And they're right. The ease of setup is amazing.
It is so easy.
I'm looking forward to taking the long road and trying to learn as much as I can about the 3D Robotics technology to be knowledgeable and communicate and also get the best results possible. So I can't wait to see the new technology.
The difference is the threshold of learning it is so much higher. But as soon as you get over that, soon as you know it, you know it.
It then works on PIDs. Did I say that right?
Yeah, it's a PID loop and all that. But if you do your research, then you get comfortable with it, then there's no more issue. But you have to take that step.
Well, and also, David, your article you made on Flight Test is what I go to every time. And when people have questions, you know, oftentimes people will say, well, I want the board they'll do the most for the cheapest. Well, I know exactly where to point them. But then you have the learning curve. David made an amazing article on setting it up, and it still rings true. The links there are excellent. It's just a fantastic article for your first time getting into it, and it explained it really, really well.
Well, thank you.
Is it on flighttest.com?
It is.
Yeah, if you go to it's under your account, right, David?
I think it's under the Flight Test account.
Oh, maybe it is. Yeah. David authored it, but it's, I think, under the
Amazing.
Flight Test account.
If you're getting into APM and you're frustrated, the biggest thing is it can do it. You just got to take a step back, read a little bit more, and then go back to it. You don't want to just start changing numbers and everything, seeing if it'll work. And a lot of people just go into that, well, I'll just move this, and then I'll move that, and then they forget what they moved in the first place. Be methodical about it. Follow it in an order, and you'll have success.
Yeah, so, Ardu Pilot Mega 2.5 is the
article name.
The article name, and it's under Flight Test on our website.
The only thing that bothers me about it is you have so many things that you can change. You only have one or tops two channels to
change them on.
Change them while in the air. Therefore, you have to have your computer plug it in and change it. It's so hard to mix everything at the same time.
They have changed stuff. They have, and I'm going to say this wrong, Android Planner.
Nice.
Droid Planner, I believe they call it, and Ardro Planner or something. It's a play on words.
Bluetooth things you can actually set up from your phone.
Exactly. And a matter of fact, that one gentleman came out to the field. He's like, this is awesome. And now he just taps it into his phone. The planner's right there. He could even go as far as to pull up Google Maps and do the waypoints and all that cool stuff. So their ultimate goal is to get you in the hobby, to teach it to you, but then to go into things with more civil purposes.
Yeah, and, it's crazy how the ability it has.
It is.
For the price, especially for the price.
I think it's safe to say, I think the technology they offer and the features they offer for the price that it costs is probably the best out there.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything cheaper that offers more.
And I want to give a shout out to, I don't want to say that out loud probably, but I usually am not over impressed with the Horizon stuff. Usually it's good stuff, but I'm never super pleased with it. It works fine, but I don't get that, wow, this is so awesome.
That's changed though, hasn't it?
For the first time, the Nano QX is by far the best thing I've flown this year out of the box.
Especially for the price.
Oh my gosh.
It is, it's so good. It's crazy.
Well, explain how we were introduced to it.
That was Bill Blair actually got one. His friend Greg brought one, so I flew it. I'm like, I can't believe how good this flies. And Alex comes in, I bought one.
So that's how Alex talks.
And how many do we have now?
Four?
Like, I think we all have
too many.
Yeah, we all have one.
Yeah, my kids don't listen to podcasts, but Santa Claus is bringing them two for Christmas. So
there you go.
Santa Claus is bringing my father and brother. They also doesn't listen.
There. Okay, here's the thing. You want to get in the multi-rotor, step one, buy a Nano.
Do it.
Yeah, get all the bugs because they're durable. They're like Dave said, can't gush over them enough. I'm yet to touch a small multi-rotor that flies and handles the way it does.
You can fly it in such a small space because it doesn't do any bad behaviors in any attitude.
The safe feature is just amazing. Yeah. It works so well.
Well, and if the Nano is too big for you guys, Estes makes...
Yeah. It's awesome, too.
What's it called? I'm forgetting it. The Pilot
Proto?
Or Proto-X.
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 Yeah. It's so tiny. It's like it's smaller than a deck of cards.
It sounds like a 10-inch saw blade.
Yeah.
And the controller is equally small.
It is. The controller is so tiny. But it's so amazingly stable for as tiny. Now, I would prefer... Just overall, in general, the Nano QX.
Yeah, because it has the prop guards.
Right.
It's small. It flies on a one-cell battery, and it still flies for almost 10 minutes, feels like. You can fly it.
You can run into anything. You can pin it up against the ceiling. Because the way the prop guards work, you can pretty much do anything in it as long as you don't hit it too hard.
I flipped that thing into the concrete 20 times in a row when it finally broke something.
But nothing detrimental. It was just a guard, right?
Yeah, I just glued it on and it's fine. I beat that thing
We were throwing it like Frisbees and hitting the throttle in midair and it just boop.
Yeah, that's the good thing. As soon as you initialize it, it knows where level is. So you can flip it upside down and throw
it
as
hard as you
can. The quality
of the gyros and the programming in that is just phenomenal.
Yeah. It's something about, as you say, with the programming, even if you turn it super hard, it just feels good. Where other, like the 1SQ, the old one, it's really good when you hover it, but as soon as you flew it around and whipped it, it just didn't feel right.
It's almost like if you flew in forward momentum more than 5 seconds, like you're doing a long straightaway and then took it out of that, it's like, what? If you gave rudder, if you gave rudder, it would still stay in that attitude, and it was really awkward. You had to stop it, and it wasn't natural.
Yeah, it was still a great – highly recommend the MQX.
I still fly it.
Yeah, I love that one.
Weren't you talking about 1SQ?
The 1SQ.
The 1SQ.
The MQX is awesome. I think it's the purest form because it really has no stabilization beyond the gyros.
I wonder, is it the programming or the gyros or the accelerometers? What makes the difference? Because some of them, like what Josh is saying, what it does is if you keep it a certain attitude for long enough, it like assumes that's level.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. There's the quality in the programming and the gyros, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm
they
not
just
sure.
did
yeah.
something right with
the Nanos. Yeah.
I think it's the safe mode. The safe, because the MQX doesn't have that, I don't think. But the other thing is the size compared to, like, the MQX. The MQX is great, but it's a little too big to fly, like, a basic pattern in an average-sized living room or kitchen or something like that.
Yeah. Basically hover it.
It's funny saying flying a pattern in a living room.
Yeah, that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
No, it's just funny hearing that. It's
fly it upstairs, downstairs.
Yeah. Well, I live in a one-bedroom apartment, and I fly that thing so hard. I bang the sticks. It's awesome.
Well, Alex was – we were at the hotel at JR, and he had a room adjoining. And you were shooting it, like, around your room, then you shoot it through the door. it was so effortless. But it flies every bit like a high-dollar, larger multi-rotor, and can't say enough good things about it.
No. So, yeah, definitely get one or get one of your loved ones one for Christmas.
It's the best way to get into multi-rotors, I'd say.
It is. And the funny thing is too, I almost forgot what I was going to say. That was really embarrassing.
This is
really awkward.
By the way, the price on those is I think it's $69 for bind and fly and $89 for ready to fly.
With every penny.
At Horizon Indoor Event, we got them for $50 though.
I went up to the Horizon guys. I was like, this is amazing. Like, oh, you like it? I don't think they even realize the gem. That's what I remember. I don't think they realize the gem they have with this thing.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely
I've never
incredible.
Really seen anything on it. No advertisements or anything. Yeah.
Okay, that's what happened.
The great thing about the What's New in RC Tech segment is that we're never going to run out of things to talk about because the hobby moves so fast anymore. I mean, there's always something new. One last thing I did want to mention is probably something we're going to have on the show before too long. I don't know if we've talked about it before.
The rib cage?
Yeah, the rib cage and the backbone. It's basically, if you've ever wanted to put a lens on a GoPro, they're going to make that possible.
Yeah. What kind of mounting?
We haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah, we haven't gotten it yet.
C-mount?
They only have a few prototypes.
Oh.
But it's going to be M12, CS, or C-mount.
Okay, cool. So yeah, it's C-mount.
So for those that don't understand that, you take a GoPro, you put this thing on it instead of the front, you remove the lens.
Yeah,
you modify it.
So it becomes like a digital SLR. You have a lens mount. So you can actually put different lenses on and change the focus and the zoom.
Wow.
If you wanted to.
So that means you got to crack your GoPro and void the warranty, right?
Yes.
More or less, yeah. And it does void the warranty. Basically, it's just going to be people that want to get that functionality out of their GoPro and don't care about
the
warranty.
I'm one of those.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, there's a lot of people that will do that.
Yeah, I look forward to
David bought a 3+ GoPro, and within the first day, he ripped it apart. And
I had to.
Messing with
it. Yeah. Oh, let's talk about the GoPro 3+. It's I've been flying it for 2 months almost. I bought it like the second day it came out. We went and got one because the stupid GoPro, my 3 Black, shoots awesome quality video, but it shuts down really weirdly.
Yeah. Like, I have a silver edition that's never quite worked right.
Yeah, the only one that actually worked was the white one.
Which is the worst quality.
Yes.
It doesn't have – it's not bad. It's as good as a GoPro 2.
Yeah, but we want more than that.
Yeah, if I'm buying a GoPro 3, I want
– Yeah.
So we've had – between David and I, we've had the white, the silver, the black, and the black 3+.
Yes.
The black 3+, for me, I've been running in ProTune, and it's been fine.
They changed the processor and they don't push it to the limit anymore.
There is one anomaly though. Twice now I've had files disappear. Like I remember I was recording I was Ocean City and I was at the beach and I was getting some footage of a kite. It was really cool.
Oh, nice.
And I came down and I remember looking at the counter, seeing that there was like 38 minutes left on the card. When I booted back up for the next flight, it said there was 42 minutes left on the card. So I'm like, what happened? And I tried to find my file and it was gone.
Was it ProTune?
Yes.
You've flown roughly the same amount of flights that I have.
I've recorded probably 30 videos since then, and I think one other time it happened, but it's so sporadic because when you go, you fly, you pack up, and then you might not remember. So I don't know. Maybe I did something wrong, but I know twice I've lost files.
Now, there's a huge deal breaker for some people. The GoPro 3 Plus is horribly focused when you get it.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely
horrible. It's focused for like 5 feet away.
Yeah, and that's it. Everything is super soft beyond that
point. Well, not super. He's exaggerating a little bit.
Nah. Depends on what kind of eyes you have, but yeah.
I do wear glasses. To be skinny.
No, I mean, it was way... Compared to the GoPro 3 Black, the original black one was absolutely fantastic. You mm-hmm. didn't have to do anything. It was gorgeous. But this, I had to crack it apart and refocus it. And then
you had to do mine.
Yes, because I did it, and then you're like, oh, it doesn't look good. So,
and for $5, David will do yours.
No. So, yeah.
Do you want to give his address now?
Yeah.
That was like the third day of owning it. So, yeah, voided the guarantee. But it's nice.
Yeah.
It feels solid. The menus, just going through the menus is lightning fast. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like it's hesitating like the old ones.
Why don't you show, I mean, maybe this is dangerous to open the store, but as far as what process do you do? Because you don't just like look at through your FPV gear. You hook it up to the TV through a cable. And
this time I didn't have that cable because GoPro 3 Black has a tiny little HDMI and I didn't have that.
A special adapter, yeah.
So what I did was I put it into Wi-Fi mode and took a picture, and you can access it through your browser.
On the computer.
So you have a full screen. So I sat down at the IMAX. I have a full screen, and I zoom in the same amount. So I took a picture, turned it 1 millimeter one way, took a picture, 1 millimeter, took a picture. So it takes a while to get it perfect.
Wow.
So you just compare until you get the perfect picture and then just leave it there.
That's completely worth paying you $5.
So that's it. It's stable so far. Mine has yet to shut down and has yet to do anything bad. And I've been pushing it as hard as I did with my old stuff, which, the GoPro 3 Black is dead now. It doesn't. It's overheating all the time now.
Wow. Well, and while we're on the topic of tech, I real quickly wanted to mention Hartmanchen is a user on our website, and he posted an article called "Our Solar Plane Dream Ship Surprise."
Nice.
And he created this flying. Well, I think it's him and his class. They are 11th grade equivalent. I'm not sure what country he's in. But they created a flying wing with solar panels on top. And he said the result was they got over 3 hours of flight and still had battery power left.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, Germany. I'm sorry. He's from Germany.
That's amazing.
His name's Jan, but his username is I'm going to butcher this. It's Hartmanchen. Yeah, Hartmanchen.
I'll link it up in What's New in RC Tech.
Okay, but it's amazing. A great article, and it's pretty amazing it invention. Yeah.
And the quality of the articles are just getting better and better. Guys,
yes.
Thank you so much for your contributions.
Yes, and take the time to write some description, show some video, post some photos. And a lot of people are looking at these articles, so the better quality you make them, the more you're providing for the community. So thank you.
That's what separates them from a general forum post.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the difference is a forum is more of a conversation or, sharing. Hey, look what I did today. Where this, you might share a project and, people that read these articles on our site, it should have inherent value. People should get something, some education, some entertainment or inspiration or a combination of the three.
And you guys are doing a great job, so thank you.
Yes, thanks. So
cool.
Next.
So other things coming up is Curtis Youngblood was here.
That's true. Yeah. What's new at FT?
That's weird. He's speaking past tense and it hasn't happened yet.
We're doing okay. I have to admit he's coming Thursday and this is Tuesday. So we're doing an interview, which we already did because we put it in this segment here.
We're from the past and the future.
Is this like what you guys are talking to me about, that movie Inception?
Yeah, right. Something like that.
Exactly.
Or
like
Memento.
That.
I haven't seen that movie.
It's a podcast within a podcast. Within a podcast.
Inspiring you to do a podcast.
Okay, so should we roll that interview?
Let's roll it
right now. Ready?
From the future. We're here with Curtis Youngblood. And thanks, you just landed.
Like, yeah, just did.
Literally half an hour ago.
Yep. So the first thing we did was throw you in the podcast room.
Yeah, or the tent, as we like to call it.
You like the cold weather?
Well, fortunately, I haven't had much of it yet. We'll see how I like it after out there flying a bit.
Right.
Now, we said we like cold weather because he is from down south. Where are you from, Curtis?
Texas.
Texas. That's where the awesome accent comes from.
Yeah.
Where all of life is warm.
Yes. I see arguably the best state in the world.
Well, yeah, I'm slightly
and
biased.
I'm from Ohio. No, I want to visit Texas really badly. My sister lived there for 3 years and all the stories, but there's a pride that comes from Texas like none other.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, well, come on down.
Yeah, very cool.
So, Curtis, a little like, what do you do? For people that don't know you, how would you describe yourself?
Old-time modeler. I've been around for a while. I've been mostly helicopters. That's where most of my career has been. I've started flying in the early 80s, and I went through the development of helicopters from regular, barely in the air, exploding machines to what's now crazy 3D machines. So I've sort of been part of and involved in a lot of that for years.
I think you're being modest. You developed and broke the grounds for a lot of this stuff too.
We were there. We were involved in a lot of it. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, it still is.
Wonderful. And it's funny because you're only 44, but you're probably considered one of the grandfathers of RC Helis, huh?
Yeah, I'm one of the old guys, yeah.
That's crazy. He doesn't look old, guys.
Yeah.
Unreal. So what got you into the hobby?
My father.
Your father?
My father, yeah. Yeah, so so you'd mentioned earlier, actually, you were talking about usually someone else is what brought you into helicopters. Mm-hmm. It's usually somebody else that then introduces it to you and helps you get along and stuff, and my father was the one for me.
Nice.
I've been flying with him, and I still fly with him. All the stuff we develop now is usually me and him developing something.
That's fantastic.
Oh, wow.
He must have been a very patient person, especially starting with helis, too.
Yes. Well, he's he loves a challenge. He's a nuclear physicist by profession.
Oh,
so
wow.
He's extremely intelligent, much higher level than I'll ever get to. So he loves a challenge, and over the years, that's what helicopters definitely have been, and all the things we're doing now. It's an extreme challenge that we enjoy.
Amazing.
So what was your first model? Do you remember it?
The first model of any kind was a Livewire Champion. An airplane.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an airplane. The helicopters, the first one was a Schluter Champion? No, it was one of the Schluter helicopters. Helipoy was the first one. That was the early 80s again.
Oh, wow.
And it's advanced a lot since then. And actually, my second helicopter was a flybarless. That was before they had the flybarless controllers, but you flew them flybarless just by flying them. That was actually made in Houston, Texas.
I never knew that.
Yeah. How did that work?
You just flew it. it was a much simpler design, which was nice. The disadvantages, of course, is it didn't have the stability. So you were the stability.
Oh, wow.
But it made for a nicer system when you crash and that kind of stuff. Quickly, the flybar machines, you know, were so much better. People went away from the flybars until the electronics caught up.
Right, yeah.
And what did the old machines used to be included in that? It wasn't gyros back then. What was it?
There were some very rudimentary gyros, but they were usually worse than not having them. So it was everything was mechanical mixing. You would have servos on a plate with another servo twisting that plate to give you another interaction. It's all mechanical mixing of everything to make everything work, including tail compensation. Everything was mechanical.
Now this is back in the 80s, right?
That was the early 80s. Yeah.
I don't think computer radios were really in existence then, were they? It was all.
I guess it depends at what point you consider it a computer radio.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, most it was all just basic circuit boards and a lot of the electronics my dad liked to develop. He'd just add boards inside the transmitter to a given switch to make it change what the switch did, and
he did
a lot of radio modifications at the time.
Wow, it's kind of interesting. As soon as you unpacked your bag, I saw something that I haven't seen. At all. I never met someone that flies a single stick.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that? I mean, our audience is usually quite recent people that are getting into the hobby. What is a single stick and how do you fly that?
Well, single stick was actually the first of the proportional kind of radios. It was the first kind that when you gave a control, the control surface mimics your control exactly. You know, small movement.
Okay.
The single sticks are actually the first ones. And what it is you would have one stick that has your aileron, elevator, and rudder all on one stick. So you twist for rudder, and aileron, elevator acts like normal.
So yeah, you physically twist the whole stick.
Yeah, you twist the stick for rudder, yeah.
It's pretty mind-blowing. Like,
it looks awesome.
Yeah, it does. It looks fantastic. But you have to modify all your transmitters now.
Now you do, yes. Years ago, you could get them, but it's been a long time. So now everything – I fly two-stick also. So like a lot of my school stuff and helping people, I fly two-stick. But on my own personal flying, I do single-stick.
That has to really be a challenge for you to be able to jump from – because all of a sudden you're telling your left thumb to do something that hasn't normally had to do for a while.
It used to be. Now I'm just used to it.
Okay.
There's just sort of different things for me. And as much as I've flown two-stick, though, I can – like the Stingray we're flying now – For months, I said, I'm only going to fly at two-stick. I'm going to completely convert to two-stick for Stingray. Just no question. I want to not even introduce the idea of single-stick to people so they don't even think about it. So I'm only going to fly two-stick. And I flew – the first year, I never flew a Stingray single-stick. Just never did.
Wow.
And then the first flight I picked up single-stick, I could fly it twice as good single-stick.
Wow.
Like, okay.
You know,
I'm never going to switch. It's always – I'm going to be a single-stick pilot who also flies two-stick.
I could really see, especially for multi-rotor FPV, how amazing a single-stick would be because when you're given the aileron input, the bank input, you could just roll your hand and just give that yaw in there so nicely.
It lets you flow controls very well because it's all kind of it's more a general flow of motion as opposed to this input, and this input. It's more integrated.
So what goes into modifying today's radio to a single stick?
It's not trivial. And the problem is if you mess it up, you destroy a radio or a whole gimbal system.
Because
the big part of doing a single stick is the rudder pot. And the rudder pot, the way we do it, is actually on top of the stick. And so you've got to get the wires down through the stick, down through the gimbal system, and back into the radio. And the only way to do that is to heat up the stick and pull it out of the plastic, drill holes in the plastic, and run the wires in through the plastic and into the transmitter. So it's involved.
Yeah,
so if you do it wrong, you destroy some expensive parts.
And no one out there makes a gimbal kit for it, I'm assuming then.
Correct. There's a couple places that still do some modifications. think it was Radio South, I think, that still did some, but I don't know if they still do them, because I think as single stick, as it gets older and older, the single stick guys are literally dying off.
Yeah.
So they're not tending to modify them anymore.
The only single stick radio I've ever seen was from my buddy. He had a Kraft radio, mm-hmm. and it was single stick, and I remember just holding this thing. I was like, this is so cool. But at the time, I didn't even know how to fly. So it was like a golden color.
Yeah, I had one of those.
Amazing. Well, you brought an amazing new device with you. Why don't we talk about that?
Yeah, the Stingray, which you mentioned. What is the Stingray? Because it's kind of a unique design.
Well, like I said, we like new challenges. We like something interesting and to try and see if you can make something work. And the Stingray, it's a variable pitch quad. There's a lot of people over the years that have been trying to make that concept work. And for us, it was just an interesting challenge to make it work. It's a single motor, variable pitch quad.
So you have a lot of belts, I'm guessing, then, to drive. Since you only have one motor, you have to have the power distributed to the props in some way.
Yes. There's a central drive shaft that goes down the center of the machine. Then there's a pulley on the front and a pulley on the back. And one belt goes – there's two belts in the front that go off that center pulley and two belts in the back that go off the center pulley. So it ends up mechanically being quite simple, actually, and there's four belts that drive the rotors.
Nice. Wow. So you have to – but don't you have to flip one belt then?
Well, the drive shaft is, of course, on one plane. The rotors are at 90 degrees to that plane. So one if you go to the left, one belt twists 90 degrees one way. The other belt twists 90 degrees the other way. And you do that both front and back.
Ah.
So all the belts actually technically are twisted. They're all twisted 90 degrees, but it works fine.
So now your yaw input, instead of – since everything's running at constant speed – now to get your yaw, you're actually changing the collective pitch of two of the blades as compared to the speed.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Regular quads, you're using – in all cases, you're using torque, variations of torque to turn. For a regular quad, you do that through motor RPM to vary torque. In our case, we do it by changing pitch to change torque.
You could probably get very aggressive then with your yaw control because you can go really extreme pitch and have that torque really take over, can't you?
Yeah. Yeah. You can stop quickly. You can do a lot of different things.
That's amazing.
So what kind of controller board are you running on that?
It's one my father made.
It's really?
A TG Multi. Yeah, he's a really, really smart guy, so he gets to do all that stuff.
That's crazy. So you have I saw the box just now. I haven't touched it yet or anything, but it looked kind of small and very nice, but it has to be in so much programming and figuring out stuff. So it's just your father doing that?
It's me and my father. He's the one who knows the programming, and I work through the logic of what the programming should do, and we go back and forth on how to make it function.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow. That's really amazing.
That is crazy. Just describing this thing, it looks like a car canopy on it.
Yeah, we gave it a car look, yes.
It's kind of it's very spacey. Like it looks very it looks cool.
We tried to give it kind of a retro spacey car kind of, you know, just so it wouldn't be all alien looking but have something grounded about it. Yeah.
Has a neat it looks like tail rotors on all four sides.
Yeah, that's effectively what it is. It's done a little differently in the sense that what the blades need to do is slightly different. So the airfoil is a little different, CG is different, their design's a little different, but it's the same size. They look basically the same.
Wow.
So do you guys design the blades as well?
Yeah, my father tends to focus on the electronics. I'm entirely the mechanics. So I did all the rotor design, the mechanics, design
crazy.
Of the machines.
And you actually, and forgive me, I'm meeting here with helis, but in the heli world, you have your own blades that you had your own
Rattus.
Hand in. It wasn't that you just put your label on them. You actually had a hand in designing it, correct?
Yes. Yeah, for years I designed blades for other companies. And then eventually I have my own company where I've been designing blades for years now, yeah.
Wow.
So we have good fundamentals on how the blades actually function.
Unreal.
And you have a helicopter line as well, right?
Yes. Yeah, the Rave line. Yeah.
Nice.
EMVs and ballistics and yeah.
What sizes of helicopters do you have in that line? Because I was just looking through your website and it looked like you had from 450 up to like 700.
Basically, yeah, that's our main ones. Right now, our main one is our 700 or ballistic. There's 700 and 635. I mean, they come in all, you know, people like to do all different kinds of sizes, but it's around the 700 size. Yeah.
Wow, it has to be so much design work put into that kind of a designing a whole helicopter. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, well, the helicopters, it's more an accumulation of knowledge over years of how to make things function, what works, what doesn't. We don't have to do a lot of experimenting on that because we've had so much experience. We just kind of know what works.
Right.
With the Stingray, it was cool because no clue what's going to work. And so is it a whole – you're starting over from zero. Okay, how does this work? And I had some wonderful explosions when things didn't work.
Some wonderful explosions.
Yeah.
That's so, spoken like a true heli guy, actually.
Well, I had one design where we hadn't got the software right, and the front half literally went one way while the back half went another way, and it ripped itself in half with pieces flying the entire time.
Man.
And it did it two times in a row. I rebuilt it and did the exact same thing again. And you know, it's disheartening but also amazing at the same time. It was cool.
Can imagine the feeling, especially with all this being done in-house between your father and you, when your father and you are standing there and you fly it and everything works, that you guys probably shared an awesome moment there. Excitement.
It's really cool. Well, the other thing, sort of the way we are, as soon as it works, you say, okay, now where does it not work? There's that maybe half second of that was cool, and you move on. It's okay. How can we make it not work now? And that's why we enjoy just keep going.
Wow. Now you started off as being passionate about helis, and you were sponsored, and then you became your own company.
Mm-hmm.
And how is it now looking at people flying aircraft that you're designing, and that you're bringing people in and sponsoring it and growing the hobby in that way? Is it pretty crazy to think of that?
It's cool. It's really neat. I guess I don't tend to look back as much, so I don't have as much of good at having a perspective on how it's changed. And now they're in my position. I'm always, okay, what am I going to do next? That's where I tend to look. But it is really cool. I mean, it's amazing how much the hobby's changed. The people I see now coming up and what they're doing is just a whole other world from when we came up.
Doesn't it humble you with the talents, especially with the younger generation that's getting into the hobby? It blows me away how quick and how good they get so fast.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it doesn't surprise me as much, because a lot of the times in the past, it was more about the mechanical side of making it function. And since a lot of that now really works, now it really is down to the talent of the youth and who really pick things up. It's a different group now. And before it was the geeks who wanted to make it work and would it explode or not. And now it's a little more about how far can the human talent go. And so it's a little different thing. It's still very amazing.
Yeah, machines that can incorporate a person's talent is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Where before it may not be able to hold together with what a person could do with it, but now it can.
Yeah, often the guy you saw before that was one of the best guy out there flying probably wasn't actually the best pilot. He just knew how to make it not explode while he did it.
You know, I think if flight test was developed many years ago, it'd probably be focused more towards the helis, because we like making things explode and crash. And that'd be our
yes,
niche.
Yes, we do.
What pilots are you currently working with that fly your equipment?
We have a really big general team. There's not any real pros as far as individual pilots, because we've dispersed more into the regular.
Well, that's your passion. Is
the regular club guys?
Getting into people's hands, not just the elite, but everybody.
Yes, that's the part I really like.
Yeah, I like that. That's fantastic.
Going back to the Stingray, how long did it take you from the idea to actually getting on the market? Because it started selling just now, right? A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, actually a few weeks ago it actually hit the market. It's from the time we started actually working on it to the time that it got to market was about 2 years.
Wow.
It was a concept a little before that too, but the time the first prototypes started to try to fly, to the time it was to market was about 2 years.
Wow, that's good self control. Not like, because I didn't see anything about it and on the forums or anything until like what was it, 6 months ago or something? You showed the first.
It was almost
prototype.
A year ago now. It was almost a year ago now when we first leaked a little bit of information about
it. Yeah, you couldn't see anything, but you could see a flip and do it.
It was far enough away that you could tell something was doing something, but that's about all you could tell. And that was intentional. That was intentional. But it was even funny in our office where we worked. Even during the testing, we didn't tell most people we were even doing it. There was only one person in the office who even knew it. I'd go in a back room and fly, and we told people it was a vacuum running because we didn't want them to know what it was. So it was also done in the back of a hobby shop, so people up front would hear stuff and like, oh, don't worry about that, and nobody knew what it was. So we kept it pretty secret for a long time.
Wow.
That is good self-control.
Yeah, so, it is.
How did the Heli World take it when you came out with a multi-rotor? Were they accepted of that or –
It's been kind of somewhat separate from helicopters. Initially, I think guys didn't know what to think about it. They just like, oh, it's, I think some guys' reaction almost, oh, that's kind of sad. Because they imagine, it's sort of like, I think, what happened when helicopters first came out relative to airplanes. Because if you think about when helicopters first came out, you had airplanes blasting around the sky at 100 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And helicopters were blowing up on the pad just trying to fly. And they'd go back and work on them. And the guys flying the planes didn't get it why the guys wanting to do helicopters so much wanted to do it. They just didn't get the concept. And I think that's where some of the helicopters guys are now with some of the stuff we're doing. They got helicopters that are fully developed, doing all this crazy stuff at full speed, back and forth everywhere else. Mm-hmm. And we're going off in this other direction with the aerobatic FPV and the racing and everything else, and aerobatic quad rotors and stuff, and they don't quite get it yet. the few guys that start to get it, go, oh, wow, that's cool. You know, you have to shift your impression of what's going to happen with this model, and then they really start to get it.
You just brought up something, and I almost drove off the road thinking about it, because you're talking about aerobatic FPV and quad racing, I think is what you said.
Yes.
What's your vision with that? Because that sounds exciting.
Well, for me, with the Stingray, there's just so many directions to go with it. There's the basics of what you do now, which is 3D and loops and rolls and fun flying and just all stuff we already know that it's a lot of fun to do. It does that great. But then you start getting into racing, which it's very good at just regular controlled racing, even from external. Mm-hmm. Then you start adding the FPV element, where you can do pylon racing FPV, you can go off course FPV with it, where you're going, you know, the one that always popped in my head was, you can't do it, but I'd love to do it. I'd love to be on the edge of the Grand Canyon doing a race down the side of the Grand Canyon, back around the bottom and back up.
Yeah.
You know, and the advantage of the variable pitch is you can do that. You can go up and down and control at extremes, and the model's in control. It's not falling part of the time. It's not losing some level of control. It's an extreme control all the time. So you can do a lot of what you'd usually only see in the movies, you're actually doing.
Yes.
You know, the Star Wars racing thing. I mean, but even more multidimensional than that, where you're changing altitude, changing planes, going through things. I think there's just all kinds of things to do with that.
And that is the beautiful thing about FPV, is you can experience things that if it goes wrong, you're going to lose your equipment, but you're not going to lose your life. And so many pilots that are full-scale pilots are just getting totally obsessed with FPV because it's like, I could never do this in my real airplane.
Oh, yeah.
But in this, they can shoot between two trees, and they can, you know, give a crazy buzz or loop around something or push the flight envelope and not have to really feel the wrath from it.
Yeah.
So.
And you just started flying FPV, right?
Yeah, I've only been doing FPV about a year and a half now. Not long at all. I mean, I think I was like some people where you didn't quite get it, you know, because a lot of the video I would see is just someone's up high flying around, and I think a lot of that was the technical achievement of going long distances and making this stuff function. But they didn't get, okay, I'm out here doing extreme 3D with a helicopter. Why do I want to go up high and just fly straight? They didn't. Yeah. They weren't making the connection to all the possibilities in between that. And as I started to get into it, I realized, heck, there's a lot here.
Yeah, you know, fun of FPV is really down low, you know, going through terrain and changing elevations and challenges there. Up high is, like you said, it's technical and it's fun, but it's... Yeah, it's the most adrenaline when you're right above the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm backing away from the microphone. David just gave me a sign.
Yeah, because you move all the time.
I move around. How was that? Was that good?
Yeah, thank you. All right. You told me a good story about, the difficulties of learning a new kind of flying, the FPV experience. Can you tell me about that again for the listeners? What, like, the challenges of, like, hearing the model? That was kind of cool. Can you tell that?
Well, for me, of course, the regular flying, just line of sight flying, I've been doing for years. I mean, more than 30 years. And I'm quite capable of doing sort of whatever I want, whenever I want, wherever I want. And when I picked up FPV, you start over. That's cool. I mean, the adrenaline rush of just lifting off, turning the model and trying to land again, I land and my hands are shaking. And it's like, okay, this is cool. This is what I like about flying. And there's a few things that initially it threw me off big time. The biggest thing, honestly, was the sound. I would have the goggles on, and honestly, again, go back to the single stick. Because of single stick, I have to stand when I fly FPV. I can't sit. So I always stand when I do FPV, which throws off FPV guys a lot of times.
Yeah, because I usually sit.
Yeah, I can do it fine standing now. But initially, you'd stand, and I even would have my head up. I've learned to put my head down now, but I'd have my head up. And as I'd fly... I'd hear the model, and my instincts of the sound would override what my eyes were seeing through the goggles, and I would literally see the model in its orientation it was in relative to me because of the sound. It would It would just mess me up. I learned how to get around that. One simple thing was simply to put my head down. I just pointed my head down, helped. And the other thing, I just learned how to ignore it. But yeah, that threw me off big time.
It's so crazy. Imagine flying so long that you can hear the attitude of the model just by the sound. That is crazy.
Yeah, it really messed with my head, because I would see the model. I mean, it was just, you knew it, you saw it, and I could, just a different picture would pop in your head, and you had to try to filter that out.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, the other thing that really got me a lot was the, when I start doing aerobatic FPV, I start going inverted, the orientation starts to throw your mind a little bit, because there's an illusion where aileron seems backwards inverted. because the way you fly right side up, you tend to pick an item on the ground, maybe a tree, and you're right side up, you want to fly towards that tree. You give aileron and you go towards that tree. You give the direction you want to go.
Yeah.
If you're upside down, you're looking at the same tree, but if you think about it, it's now above you, not below you. So when you roll to it, if you give aileron, it actually goes the other way.
Yep.
And so it's a complete mind trip that now it seems backwards, but actually the control isn't, just your reference just changed.
Yep.
And when you throw that into trying to hover inverted and hover through loops and pirouette, and it's a whole new thing. It's just a whole new thing to learn.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Unreal. Now brother, I know you're 44. You married?
Yes.
Kids?
Married, two kids, yeah.
Wonderful. Are you going to experience the same kind of things that you and your dad did, or?
I have two daughters.
Oh, okay.
Although they're so far both seem interested in flying.
Yeah, I'm amazed how many daughters are getting in the hobby. We found that at Horizon.
Yep.
So.
And I've not been encouraging it. I'm kind of like, okay, I'm not going to encourage it at all, but they keep coming up, can I fly some? And my oldest started flying the Stingray a little bit. She really liked
nice.
It.
Oh, nice.
Oh, encourage it, brother. Encourage it. I remember my dad taught my sister to fly first, and she learned in approximately 2 weeks. It took me about 2 years. And I was so jealous because she picked it up so quickly.
That's the same. I have an older sister, and she picked it up instantly.
Yeah.
She, in fact, I think she was so good so fast, she found it boring.
Yeah, no
and
challenge.
And she moved on, and whereas I really had to work at it to learn it.
Yeah, yeah. That's so crazy. Any dads out there that have daughters, don't hesitate to try to get them in the hobby. You'll be amazed how receptive they are with it. They also like building them too. I'm really amazed with building a model, putting it together. It's like a big craft for them.
Yeah, I found that with my daughter too.
So, wonderful, wonderful.
So do you fly any planes now, nowadays?
Not anymore. I haven't in years.
Really?
Every once in a while I randomly pick one up. Nick Maxwell used to fly with a lot. He had a plane he let me play with every once in a while. But my instinct isn't for a plane. I used to be really good with the stall of an airplane, and I've lost that completely.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
completely lost
wow.
that feel. I'm sure with some flying I could get it back. But yeah, I enjoy planes, but I don't have the feel for them anymore.
Wow.
Is there anything we should have asked you that we didn't?
Not that I know of. You did pretty good.
Well, thank you.
Wow. So we're not really up on interviewing people.
Yeah, so. This is a new thing.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well, thank you very much for coming.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
thank
we
you.
Can't wait. We're going to – if any of you want to see, there'll be show notes and different links that Austin always puts in. I know he's usually the guy that chimes in here, but we'll have as many links as possible in the show notes for this. And also, we're going to be shooting an episode with Curtis. He was so gracious to come out here and visit with us a couple days with the Stingray. And look for that on YouTube. And as always, give us your feedback on what you want to see.
Yeah, so we'll roll right. back to the normal stuff. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Curtis.
Thank you.
Okay, really cool interview, which we haven't listened to.
We're not sure what it's all about. I'm
you know,
sure
this is true transparency right here. You know?
Let's give a mark. That's for you, David, to be able to
you.
See it on the waveform.
Oh, nice.
There you go. Boom.
Wow.
Because I edit this.
It's yep. true.
Really cool. Next segment is the lightning round then, right?
Yes, we're going to have some questions specifically for Alex. I think that most of them apply to just about everybody.
Can I answer one question that'll probably be on there? Yes, his hair is real.
Yeah. Oh, right. By the way, we're still doing the No Shave November or Movember.
Movember. And I got to say that the Swede is wiping the floor with me.
Yeah, he's growing facial hair like mad.
If you listen to this.
Oh, that's just creepy.
Yeah. Just threw up in my mouth a little bit. But yeah. Dave, it looks good on you. You can rock the beard.
He's
you
know, rubbing his facial
hair
into the mic.
The problem is it's my hair color is dark and my beard is red.
So it's I'm completely
Captain,
red.
Yeah, yeah. I'm Captain Redbeard.
He looks like a Viking.
Well, you're awesome. getting a little bit of grays on the side.
Yeah.
Dark on top and a red beard.
Yeah.
It's definitely, I don't know how that works.
Does anybody else have any comments about David's hair situation?
We're not being crushed.
I think
okay,
we should
guys?
Move on.
Yeah. No, still no shave November. And it's going
to
be fun.
And I'm not participating because I like to be married.
And before we hop into the lightning round Q&A, I also want to mention that we hit 100,000 subscribers on YouTube,
thank you guys.
Which is very cool. Actually, I think we're at 101,000 now.
Wow.
So anyway, if you have not subscribed yet to the YouTube channel, head over there and subscribe. That way you don't miss a video.
Real quick, you're talking about we have that other show thing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
The flight test show, which was something YouTube did 2 years ago or something like that, where they tried to allow channels to have separate shows. And we have a flight test show, which a lot of 5,000 people almost are subscribed to.
Yeah.
And, double check if you go to the flight test channel and you see there's like 4,500 or 5,000 subscribers, you're subscribed to something that's going to become antiquated or go away.
That's a fancy word.
Yeah. So go to the flight test channel and subscribe. That way you don't miss anything. And better yet, go to our website and subscribe to the newsletter, because that way we'll always be able to update you of anything.
Another part that Alex is doing.
Oh, yeah.
Doing a great job, too.
We have a dog barking in the background.
Yeah, that's Hoffy.
That's Hoffy.
He's barking at Brian, who just came.
Oh, okay.
So, I think you can go to flighttest.com/newsletter, I believe, to sign up for that.
And guys, just like with the podcast, the videos, we value your input. Let us know how we can make it the best it can be. Let us know what you want to see. We want to execute that to the fullest and give you exactly what you'd like. So give us your feedback on the newsletter.
Lightning round.
Da, da, da. All right. First lightning round question. Do you have any tips? This is for anybody who wants to answer it. Do you have any tips for maximizing flight times? Would you be willing to do a flight time challenge episode?
If you plug it into the wall and just run along cart, or actually, it does work. I did that with a small helicopter. It works. But
well, Kara had that actually for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. But yeah, you can fly indefinitely. But usually what you want to do is have, if you're just looking for maximum flight time, you need a lot of battery. And you can't fly around hard then. Because most of the weight on your thing is battery, so
a flying wing with lots of batteries.
Well, an efficient prop/motor combo.
Yeah.
A lot of people just think, oh, this motor's big enough to carry my plane. Well, you can actually look up a lot of stats, and if you get a good combination, motor, prop, thrust, weight, you will completely maximize your flight time.
Yes. But, yeah, it's mostly if what you're trading in flight time is performance. Mm-hmm. So that, just know that. Usually it's if you want to fly for longer, get more batteries and land in between, it's not that hard.
Well, and this might sound obvious, but even at the show, I remember looking at somebody's plane, they had a bunch of lead weight to get the nose weight, and the battery was still 4 inches from the nose. And I'm like, well, get rid of some of that lead, move your battery up. You're better to have weight in your battery than
put
dead
weight. Put a bigger battery on it. And if you're flying around a 2/3 throttle just to maintain altitude, your plane's probably heavier, your motor's too small.
Right.
So. Yeah.
Lightning round!
This one's for Alex, because we all kind of answered this in the very first podcast, The Origins of Flight Test. But the question is, I always wanted to know how you all ended up at Flight Test. So Alex wasn't there for the first episode, so I figured just Alex can answer that question.
Well, it kind of goes back to how me and Josh met. And then after that, some time went by. It was a good 6 or 7 months, or maybe even longer than that.
It wasn't quite that long because it was the spring.
Yeah, that's true. I think it was March when I got hired. But I just graduated school. I went to the University of Akron, and I was working in a screen printing shop. It's called Illusion Screen Printing in Worcester, Ohio. It was a really cool job, but I was seeking out more full-time employment, and I was looking everywhere, and I went on a bunch of interviews places. And I remember I got home early from work one day because we were slow, and I was like, I'm so sick of searching for jobs, I just want to watch Flight Test. So I went and started watching Flight Test, and that led me to the site, and I was just stumbling around on the website, and then I got to the contact form, and I just wrote a message, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to try this. And I just pretty much said my story, said I'm looking for a job. If you guys need any help with anything at all, please let me know. I'm in the area. I love planes. And within probably 10 minutes, I got an email from Chad. And he's pretty much he was just like, what are you doing right now?
I remember Chad running down the steps with his – I think it was your computer, your phone. He's like, check this out. This guy's perfect. We need this.
We were looking for a guy.
Hold on. Yeah, I got to preface, because we're going to have
tons.
Yeah,
of
we got we
have like 100 opening, guys.
It works.
No, it works.
No, that was it. Was purely
it was a timing thing.
It was a timing.
That was right when the store got started.
It was a real blessing because hiring is one of the things I hate doing. I've hired a lot of employees over the years, and I just despise it. And just because it's just this constant, you know, trying to make the right match. And Josh and I just agreed probably that day or the day before, we need to bring someone in. And, you know, we knew immediately the challenge was, well, it's very important that they know and understand the hobby. How are we going to find somebody that can fill this really odd graphic design / laser cutter runner position?
But is still passionate about the hobby.
And it's like, I don't know, within a day, we get Alex's resume. I'm like, it's too good to be true.
And it was funny. Alex, I met him the first day he was there. Uh-huh. And we talked about stuff. And I said, I'm hot wire cutting a vegan. He's like, oh, a vegan. That's cool. I'm like, how do you know? That's weird. I'm like, yeah, I have it in my X-Plane on my phone. So he showed me how to do it. I'm like,
it's a simulator app.
He's the guy. He knows the good planes. He's the guy.
And by the way, my kids call him Uncle Alex. So yeah, he is awesome with children and just a genuinely just really cool, friendly guy. But he's also a crazy historian, like David said. I walked in all excited because we were dealing with some issues with the FTL Speedster. And I was like, oh, guess what? You know, I'm going to make one wing longer. He's like, oh, yeah, Beach did that. And I'm like, what? And he goes back to the Thompson Air Races. And he's like, oh, yeah, look, this Mustang here. And the guy knows his stuff. So.
All right, lightning round.
Sorry.
This one's going to be short, and you don't get to explain your answer. You just have to give it. Mac or PC?
Mac.
Mac.
PC. I'm the strawberry and the Neapolitan ice cream.
Fair enough.
You're the raisin oatmeal cookie when you think it's chocolate chip.
You know what, though? I am the only one that can download the screensaver that we just came out with the flying toaster.
No, I would like to fix that. Fly Frederick just posted the Mac version of the screensaver.
Like I said, an article. I'm not the only one that can do it. It's for you guys, Mac guys, too.
Somebody from the website did
that? Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was one of you guys.
Nope. Fly Frederick from our website, he posted an article and made a Mac screensaver for everyone. So thank you so much, Frederick.
A little bit of explanation. We had a flying toaster episode we just released, and we also released a flying toaster screensaver from the episode, which was Windows only, but now is apparently Mac as well.
Oh, I'm sorry. Have to mention this. Roy Bro, who is on our forum, actually posted like back in May or March, one of the M months, about the flying toaster, and I missed it. And I think we were talking about it anyhow because I don't remember when brought it up. But he brought it up and posted it, and I didn't give him credit. Well, not because I didn't want to. I just didn't know it was there till it was too late.
Thank you for the idea.
Yeah, but thank you very much, Roy Bro.
I think it's Inception all over again.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, go.
Next question. Where is David's home in the USA? Do you live at Chad's house or in your own house?
I live in an apartment, which is around 20 minutes walking distance from the flight test headquarters.
And you know that so well because you walk to work.
Yeah, I walk to work every day because, it's expensive to get a car.
In our spare bedroom is pretty much David's summer, winter home.
Vacation home.
Yeah, he's always welcome there. So.
Okay, cool.
I like your basement.
The basement's nice.
All right, the next question is, have you ever considered going over the history and progression of technology in the hobby? I'm always hearing vague references of how it used to be, and I'd be really interested to hearing from someone with lots of experience in the hobby. It'd be nice to have some of the early innovators in the community to be remembered and credited.
That's powerful.
So I think the answer is yes. I mean, that sounds useful.
No, I'm going to say no.
Yeah. We're looking forward only.
No, I love the nostalgia stuff. I've not been in the hobby that long, but I remember in high school, which was in the early 90s, actually late 80s, early 90s. I was so interested in the hobby and so badly wanted to get into it, but there was no way it was approachable at all. I mean, it would have been a minimum $500 investment, and I maybe had $2. So I'm so interested in that, and I love hearing the old stories of the old gas motors and all of that.
Well, that's, I think, honestly, the best way to put it in the truest form is by sharing the stories from there. Talk about the technology. the stories, I think, are more powerful.
I think we're going to have – sometime we're going to have someone on the podcast that has that knowledge and will emphasize on it then.
Bill Blair talked a lot about the – past
the early heli days,
yeah. Which was kind of cool to hear.
That was awesome.
That was on our last podcast, I believe.
It's true. Bill Blair from Whirly Bird Video.
Yes, thank you, Bill. And I'm so sorry I couldn't be here for the time that you were here and partake of your great food.
Yeah. Okay, lightning.
Next question is from Joe Zapata. Who is your favorite brother?
I think
I think that's directed at Alex. But that was posted on Facebook.
Well, my favorite brother is Jason Grooms, which is my brother.
I was going to say Josh Bixley.
Wow. Oh, there you go.
You only pay an hour later. I do call him brother, and I mean it in the true sense of the form.
Yeah,
so.
It's contagious. I started calling people brother, too.
For those of you who didn't put two and two together, Joe Zavada is Alex's brother. Yeah. He was in our hot air balloon episode.
Yep. He's fishing for compliments at this point.
Yes, and just blatantly fishing for compliments.
How many brothers do you have?
I have two. I'm middle child.
Middle child.
Luke and Joe.
But so which one's your favorite?
Yes.
Yes.
Next question is, why is your name F-L-I-T-E test and not F-L-I-G-H-T test?
Yeah, it's an embarrassing question we get a lot.
You spell it wrong. Did you spell it wrong, or is that the U.S. way of spelling it?
Yes. No, it's really simple. Like everything with flight, the traditional spelling – was taken.
Right.
And, you know, so I figured if eFlight made a popular brand and they were doing well, then we could do it.
Well,
that's it. It's that simple.
And the number one comment underneath that made a good point, and it was that try Googling the actual spelling of flight test.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get a bazillion results. If you Google it how we spell it, you'll actually get what you're looking for,
right,
which is flight test related.
Yeah,
stuff,
and that's part of it, is creating a unique name that when you search it, you find what you're looking for.
Right.
But that's it.
Question, if you could have gotten flighttest.com the way it was spelled, what do you have?
Well, I would have probably stuck with F-L-I-T-E, but also registered
purchased
that
both.
And pointed it to
yeah.
it.
Right.
I think in reality, I just wanted an original spelling, so it was a unique name.
We're all a little odd here, too, so you might as well have an odd spelling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Next question is, what's a good all-weather plane? And by that they mean, and it's appropriate since we just got our first snow today.
I can take that. Swift, too.
Heck yeah.
Swift, too.
We flew that in a storm.
David and I have a video on the Gremlin channel that makes me smile every time I watch it.
It's like flying
back. So, yeah, it's full throttle straight ahead and just trying to keep that.
Still flying backwards.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was so much fun. It's by far the best one. And it's a wing is super easy to get every electronic
covered
and protected, so it's just more or less putting it in balloons and then zip tying the opening to everything.
It takes a beating too. Freshwater, a lot of people don't know this, so rainwater, your motors don't really have to be protected.
Yeah, motors fine. Speed controller is much more sensitive because it's measuring where the motor is, mm-hmm. so to speak, on the face that's not being used, so that needs to be protected, and your receiver.
What do you do to dry out? Say something does get wet.
Leave it as long as possible. You can put it in a bath of
rice.
Of rice, yes. And
unless
it
you fly into the ocean, David.
Then you just toss it. Yeah, salt water is going to kill everything you love in this world.
Including FPV antennas, right? It rusted in like minutes, Tony, didn't it?
I didn't even have to crash it. It just instantly walking out through the door of the hotel room, it just rusted.
And David's referring to the Cancun trip that we did to get some footage for a resort.
Yeah, that was exciting. We should talk about that sometime.
Yep, not right now though.
Not right now.
Lightning round.
Actually, this is the last question, and this is a question for everybody. If you had to stick with either fixed wing or multi-rotors
forever,
which one would you pick? David obviously just said multi-rotor.
I'm eyeballing Alex. I wonder where he's going to go.
It's a tough one.
I would probably say fixed wing.
Yeah, I'm with Alex, fixed wing.
And it's funny. It's close for me. Like, it might be like 59% multi-rotor.
Yeah.
But it would definitely be multi-rotor. That's what got me into the hobby.
I would actually, I would be fine sticking just to FPV multi-rotor flying. Because you can do so much, it's so much fun.
Well, my very first aircraft I built was a quadcopter 3.5 years ago. It didn't fly well, but it was my first attempt.
Cool.
Very nice. That's a good podcast, I think.
Yeah, I think so. We got another one in the can.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Another thing I want to mention is that we started out really, really strong, and they're definitely still trickling in. It really helps other people find the podcast. If you have a moment to go to flighttest.com/iTunes and leave us a quick rating and or review there, that really helps other people find the podcast. And and we appreciate your honest feedback there.
And what date is this coming out?
Next Monday.
November still?
November 17th.
Yeah, so the Share the Hobby sale is still active till the end of the month, which and what we're trying to encourage people to do is we're giving everybody 15% off everything in the store, minus shipping. Sorry, there's not a lot we can do. That's an issue that we're still struggling with. But the 15% is pretty substantial, and we want people to use it to share with somebody that's thinking about getting in the hobby and they can build planes with. And Josh, you want to share your
thought? Yeah, our goal is to hopefully, especially with the holidays coming up, we don't want it just to be a Christmas present that you put on the tree. That's great if you do, but hopefully this will encourage you to buy a kit and then, you know, after you eat the Thanksgiving dinner, crack one open, make a plane with somebody, or you know, just over the holidays, make a memory with a friend. And it also is a thing. We never really were pro sale. We don't want to try to manipulate the audience that's trying to support us. We're so grateful for that. But this is the best way we could come up with to thank you guys. You guys brought us to over 100,000 viewers, and that was through your kindness and your grace. And we value that, and we want to reward that. So what better way I thought we could do than, you know,
well, and I want to clarify, it's not just – you don't have to buy something. You can download all of the plans for free.
Oh, and that's a good point. I got an email from a gentleman, and he was quite frustrated because he couldn't find the plans. And it's a pretty standard format we have. Every one of our designs has an article. At the very end of that article, Alex does a great job with making the plans in both tiled and full sheet format. So if any of you are looking for that, we're not trying to hide it. We want you to get in the hobby and do this. And anyone I talk to on the phone and hopefully as much in the video, if you do buy a kit, trace it out before you build it. If anything, you have backup parts. And if not, and you are flying, having a good time, your buddy comes along, you can build it with them and have a ball with them. So our goal is to get you in the hobby. And that's where, if you're looking for the plans, go to the flight test article, scroll all the way to the bottom. There's a download link.
I have something too. In the future, would you like an episode on the production side of flight test? Leave us a comment in this podcast episode. Go to flighttest.com, podcast icon, and episode 6. Leave a comment if you want to see that, because we can get they've not been here.
Oh, so cool. You're talking video production.
Video production,
But in the podcast, so
in
we talk
podcast,
about it.
Yeah, that so we can talk great. About how we actually shoot the video, what we do on the set, how we edit it, everything from that you don't see.
Yeah, I think that would be very interesting.
I think so, because I'm into video production. Right. I don't know if leave us a comment.
Dave's got a great voice too.
He does. He's a radio guy.
That'd be a pretty interesting podcast, I think.
But. Yeah, so leave a comment. That would be cool to see how many actually are interested in listening to that. Still RC content, but mostly production side then.
Yeah, we want to meet your needs. Just let us know, and you guys are steering the ship.
When I do know something people want to see is how you design planes. We get that question a lot.
Yeah.
We've talked about it a little bit. You know what? There's a good friend of mine, Phil Wilson. Phil, you listen to podcasts. I'm sorry I forgot about this. I had a whiteboard called Punchy, and the reason it was called Punchy was because there's a big old punch mark in the middle of the whiteboard. We'll talk about that later. we used to actually, in the middle of painting Corvette parts, we would draw three views of different planes, and that's how the Cruiser, the Baby Blender was made. And to this day, I still have Punchy with, I believe, the FT Cruiser on it.
Oh, wow.
So I want to seal it and stuff. But yeah, it's really not that glamorous. And guys, by all means, if I can design planes, you can too.
Yes, everyone can. Just sit down and think about it.
Yeah.
Well, and I think even that, I think it would be great to maybe do an episode where I think people think there is a mystery to it, but just reveal that. This is how I do it. And I think that alone will open the doors for some people, because it will inspire them to move forward.
If you want it, we'll make it happen and do our best. We want you to have success with that. And yeah, the more people are designing airplanes and freely giving that knowledge, you'll be surprised when you go down in model scale. I'm going to say this and it's going to come across wrong. it's amazing what you can get away with.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the old fogey, the speedster, the baby blender.
Yeah.
You know what? You say that, but we've gotten plenty of models from manufacturers that just fly like crap. So, yeah. You know, you do a really great job, and you do downplay it a little bit. But
It is approachable. It is something I truly feel anyone can do to one capacity. You just build it one step at a time. And every time you do something, you learn it, and you just apply that. So if you guys want that, we'll be happy to do that. It'd be fun.
One last thing before we say adios. If you guys go to www.speakpipe.com/flighttest, you can leave us a voicemail that we can play for the next podcast.
Cool.
And so,
ooh, that would be awesome.
Just keep it short and to the point. I think it's about 90 seconds max you have to answer a question. Also, if you keep your question to the point, it's more likely to be answered. So anyway, that's speakpipe.com/flighttest. You can just record straight from your computer. And yeah, we're looking forward to sort through those.
Boy, technology is amazing.
And thank you guys all for your support. It's just a very humbling experience to be involved with Flight Test and to interact with the community like we get to.
Yeah, I want to hug every 100,000 of you. I mean, seriously.
All right, everyone. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.